Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 308. My name is Andy.
He played Ice Cube's dad in Friday.
And yeah, I'm Dave.
He was talking about like putting water in the cereal because they didn't have milk, or was that in Next Friday?
I think that was Next Friday.
Point is, John Witherspoon was a national treasure, and he wasn't Nipsey Russell. My name's Nathan.
Hey, guys. We're here from our separate abodes, broadcasting live-ish, kind of. Well, I guess we're live.
Yeah, we're live.
Maybe a slight delay.
According to you, we're live.
Yeah.
I mean, true, there might be a minor delay, but as far as we know. Oh, when I look at the live stream, I see, we're behind you on the TV.
Yeah, so that...
Hello, the internet.
That is Nathan. And that is Dave.
I'm in our chat now. Announcements. Everything's dying. The world's terrible.
Yep.
Well, yeah, not everything's dying.
We knew that already.
There are no events. There are no gaming sessions near you.
Well,
there's only sitting at home.
Yeah.
But Vassal and Tabletop Simulator exists, so you can still play your games.
And hate life if you're using Vassal.
Well, I hate life already. Vassal's not going to, like...
I mean, it may be... I mean, depending on the situation, that part of it may be redundant, yes. But Vassal will guarantee it.
Listen, we make do with what we can access.
Yeah. Nathan, you live too far away.
Maybe everyone else lives too far away.
I mean, that is a true statement from your perspective.
I mean, I live really close to me.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I live here. I mean, this is perfectly convenient.
Yeah, I've been where you live. I don't think it's convenient.
I mean, to be fair, we bought this place having never been in Madison more than one day before. So I would just say that maybe we would have chosen something a little different as far as location if we were familiar with the area. But it works.
Yeah. You're not in Madison, right?
Yeah, I'm in Madison.
Jesus. Way out where you are is in Madison, but like where I lived technically wasn't because it was Fitchburg.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, I mean, yeah, Fitchburg and Middleton and Monona just haven't let themselves be annexed yet. I mean, when I moved up here 6 years ago, I was literally on the border. The border of Madison went straight down the middle of the street right outside the house. And now it's like two blocks over, or I mean, some amount of space over, because there aren't any blocks further east.
Crazy. And yet it still hasn't absorbed... You know, Fish Hatch.
Yeah.
South of the Beltline.
Well, I mean, that's Middleton. They really
that's
like
Fitchburg.
Their tax.
Middleton's up in the north.
Yeah. They like their tax dodges, so they're not going to let themselves be annexed.
Figure out your city, Kentucky boy.
Yay. I heard myself on somebody's mic.
I mean, for a quarter of a second, we were audible on my mic because I was pulling up the chat, and I couldn't pull up the chat without the video being there. And my phone wasn't muted because I was watching some good porn, and I wanted to hear it. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to tell other...
That's not actually true. I was watching a new McBeard video.
Oh. I was trying to make sure I told everybody in the house to not stream during this time, but I didn't, so our audio is probably going to go to shit eventually.
That's okay. The worse the audio, the less of us they have to hear.
Yeah.
That is true.
So I think there's literally no announcements because everything's been canceled. So
technically,
you said we had a topic?
Technically, Lock and Load is still possibly going to happen.
When?
It's at the end of June.
Oh, well, that's not near enough to be an announcement anyway.
Yeah.
Just like WTC, they haven't called off the WTC because a whole bunch of people traveling internationally and then being close together in a cramped room is exactly the right thing to do during a pandemic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, especially.
Well, I don't know when WTC is either, so that also might be later when it's hopefully.
It's in September.
October, yeah.
So they're crossing their fingers that this isn't that long.
Yeah, it depends. It really depends on how the summer pans out. I mean, we like a week ago, we got word that everything was going to be fine April 15th, just in time for Easter.
That's from one of the top scientific minds on the planet, too.
Yeah. Totally trustworthy, too.
Yep. Just in time to celebrate the one person that should have stayed indoors, too. I think I stole that joke from, I think it was Last Week Tonight.
Yeah, it was. Lord Almighty. Yeah. But you said we had a topic, Andy.
Well, I was going to talk about, like, so I went on Amazon, and because you had mentioned that you didn't have, like, a good webcam at all. And you know, it looks fine. It's a little grainy, but.
I mean, it's for a built-in laptop webcam from 4 years ago, it's pretty decent.
It is.
But that's not saying a lot.
Yeah.
That's like saying for a gas station hamburger, this is pretty good.
Well, I mean, I was just looking at the webcam that I got, which is like a C90. Or C120, I think it is, or something like that. It's
920.
Just, yeah, 920. That's it.
Yeah.
But normally when I bought them, they're about $90 a piece. And right now on Amazon, they are going for about almost triple that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Welcome to capitalism.
Yep.
And it's so weird because, like, there's laws against it, but like they don't. I don't know. Like if a hurricane hits and you're hoarding all the supplies and you charge triple, it's illegal. Like there's laws against that. But if a pandemic hits, there aren't. Like it makes no sense. Well, like the free market's only as free as they feel like making it be at any point in time.
It's like the gas stations after, I think it was 9/11, suddenly started charging, you know, like $6, $7, $8 a gallon for people, just gouging them, which is, it's just sad.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the only system that works, Andy.
Capitalism?
Yeah.
And then with a dash of socialism once in a while.
Name any other cultural system, societal system that's destroyed a planet in less than 75 years. I mean, you gotta hand it to it. It's really good at destroying everything.
Fair enough. I am watching the last season of Preacher, and that basically seems like God's vision.
Yeah, well,
I'm almost done with it. It's set on my DVR forever, so I figured that's what I've been doing in my shelter time is watching Preacher. So I guess we could probably talk about what have you guys been doing in your self-quarantine time or social distancing time?
Well, I mean, I'll say that I have gotten more painting done than I have the rest of this year in the past, like, 3 weeks. Realistically, I'm suffering from being sick because this is the current state of the pandemic is I had the three symptoms for coronavirus and an obvious transmission vector because my wife is a nurse at a hospital that has seen multiple patients. And not only could I not get a test for coronavirus, but I couldn't actually see a healthcare provider. And they basically told me to wait until I was experiencing shortness of breath while at rest before coming in. And I mean, that's the point that you'd be going in.
Don't you already have like breathing issues when you're at rest?
Well, I mean, that's when I'm sleeping. What they specifically said is that if you have shortness of breath while resting, while sitting, then come in. I'm thinking to myself, I'd be going to the ER anyway if I couldn't breathe while completely at rest. So,
are there elephants in somebody's house?
It must be David's kids. It's got to be David's kids. They look like they sound like they're pushing each other down the stairs.
Oh, I want to happen in the background of David's camera what happened to the one ambassador to like Korea on that British news show. kid just comes dancing in.
Yeah, one kid comes dancing in, the other one in the walker that just kind of rolls in afterwards.
And then the mom just like desperately trying to lean in, because somehow that's better. Like if you walk in, you're more visible than if 80% of you is leaning in the doorway swatting randomly at the stroller. It's like when people say to act casual and then everybody acts like so uncasual because they're overly nonchalant.
Very true. So Nate, how is your self-isolation treating you?
So last Tuesday, Gwent came out on Android, and that's the entirety of my story of my self-isolation. Is about 6 hours a day of Gwenting it up. It feels so good to be back. I love that game so goddamned much.
I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Slay the Spire, just this mobile version, to come out. It has theoretically been in QA since January, so maybe at some point it'll come out.
Why don't you play Gwent, David? You'd like it. It's math.
I played it for a little while. It didn't really catch me.
Did you play open beta or post-homecoming?
Open beta, I think.
See, it's changed. Now there's like orders. Like once stuff is on the board, it can still do things like trigger abilities and targeting and stuff like that, and which is kind of neat strategically versus the once it's played, it's done of the open beta.
Okay, I will take a look at it again.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So happy Gwent's back. New patch coming out day after tomorrow.
I'm not happy about it coming back, because that means it's going to be another reoccurring segment on the podcast.
Well, yeah, because there's a new patch coming out the day after tomorrow, which means that the top topic of the next podcast is going to be Nathan complaining about the patch that just came out.
I can give you one complaint already, and I'm going to tell you this. So there was a new faction that was introduced in one of the more recent patches, Syndicate. That's all the like crime syndicate people, and they've got a cool mechanic, which is a lot of their stuff triggers on coins, which is almost like a mana system, which normally isn't in Gwent. So that's kind of neat. And they provide the coins, and then other things spend the coins or whatever. So one of the new leaders that's coming out, each of the factions is getting a new leader with this patch. The new Syndicate leader says, as an order, you can gain 3 coins, and this order refreshes each round, so it's up to 9 coins over the course of the match. That's fine. But it has a secondary passive ability, which is your horde abilities cost 3 less coins to, or no, it, yeah, 3 less. Is it less or fewer? The point is they got it wrong. The grammar's wrong. Yeah, that says cost 3 less coins to activate, and it should be 3 fewer coins. So to me, that looks literally unplayable because the grammar's wrong. And if that was sitting in front of me the whole game, I would just flip out.
Oh, the grammar on the card? It's just not the patch notes that's wrong?
It's not just the patch note. The actual abilities, which you don't even see the ability text because it's just an icon. Like, you'd only see it if you hovered over because you didn't recognize what the icon did. But I would still know. I would know that it says your horde abilities cost 3 less coins to activate, and it would bug me all game every day.
Yeah, there's a card in Slay the Spire that does that, and it annoys the shit out of me.
Literally unplayed. So there's my little Gwent talk, Andy. I'm done now.
Yeah, that's fine. What I've been doing, I've been working from home like usual, and then I've just been playing a lot of WoW. I've got more time so I can play both retail and classic and get caught up. So,
Lord Almighty. Yeah. So you're working 3 full-time jobs.
Yep.
2 of which you pay for the privilege of working.
Yes. Well, it's basically one. I pay for 2 jobs because classic and they're on the same subscription.
They are.
Yeah.
Cool.
Other than that, I mean, I should actually get work on painting or do some kind of hobby stuff, but no. This free time, this has to be used for WoW. I need pets to catch.
You need to, like, raid the same seasonal person 150 times for the 8th year in a row and get nothing for it.
Yep.
That's how they get you, Andy.
Right now I'm trying to get the blue Drake mount that's out of Utgard Pinnacle off of the third boss there, Skaldi the Ruthless. And I've run it, I think, 110 times now. Or it might be even more than that. I still haven't gotten it, so.
Keep slapping that lever in that Skinner box.
Yeah, hey, you know.
A treat might come out one of these days.
And then I'm going to do it again on a different dungeon for another mount.
Yep. Lord. Yeah, I've been almost depressingly uneventful in my work from home. Like, everybody's like, oh, I can get caught up on my painting and I can do this and that and the other. No, I'll just sit on the couch letting old episodes of MST3K play on the Pluto TV while I don't watch it and just play Gwent on my phone.
Okay.
While Raylene sits in the other chair, also not watching the show and reading books on her Kindle.
Yeah, and I've just been watching the backlog of television shows that's on my DVR, and that's why I got to The Preacher finally.
See, I'm not even watching stuff like that's backlogged. Like, there's shows I should be watching and catching up on. There's seasons of Better Call Saul, but nope. I'll just watch, you know, Mighty Jack MST3K for the 800th time and not even watch it, just have it playing. Sometimes that's more relaxing, though. Passive, you know, not actually taking the effort to pay attention to the show.
Yeah.
Like, there was a new episode of Sex Robots on Sunday, and I haven't watched that yet.
Huh?
You know, the Sex Robot show that everybody likes. The third season is going on.
Oh, Sex and Robots, or...
Oh, Westworld?
Yeah, Westworld.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I've been waiting to binge it. I'm hoping it's better.
Season 1 is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Season 1 is phenomenal. Season 2 existed, and Season 3 has been okay so far.
Yeah. Well, the Season 2 started off okay, too. So that's the issue with Season 2.
Season 2, it tried too hard. There was good stuff scattered around throughout it, but it was so disjointed.
It really wanted to try to have that same twist as Season 1 did, and... It did not do well. It was just as you said, it was a disjointed mess. I think Season 2 would have worked better if they actually had subtitles on there that basically said, you know, like what time that they're in, and may have flowed better.
Counterpoint, just one fucking timeline.
Yeah.
Like Season 1 had a twist, good for it. Season 2 should now just be itself.
Yeah.
Just be robots versus humans, a revolution, you know, just tell that story.
It's like the only episode that was really good out of Season 2 is the Indian second life thing where they're all trying to go into the portal.
And anything with Ed Harris was good, because Ed Harris is always great.
Yeah.
I like the scene when they get taken prisoner by some like bandits, and the one bandit's being all tough and going on about death, and Ed Harris says, "You think you know death, but he's been sitting in front of you this whole time and you don't even recognize him," and then he just murders all of them. And it's like, that's the most badass thing anyone has ever said ever.
Yeah, Ed Harris is pretty sweet. He's probably one of the best characters on the show. But yeah, Season 2 is just, oh man, it
tried.
Yeah.
And randomly had a couple episodes in a samurai world for no reason. Like, that went nowhere.
Isn't there supposedly... I heard something about a Game of Thrones world in...
There is not a Game of Thrones world.
Okay.
No. There is a little Easter egg that implies that there is a fantasy world that has dragons, yes. But... But of course, that's only two episodes in. Maybe this episode from Sunday, they go to Game of Thrones world and there's robot Lena Headey that I don't know. Haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched any of them yet. I was going to wait to binge them. Jim and I were going to usually watch them on Friday nights. So, and that hasn't been happening because Jim's been sick as well.
Yeah.
Turns out
there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
Social distance.
Did you Did you guys know, and you should probably make a mention on the podcast too, that Jackie, Keith's wife, is actually volunteered and has gone out to New York City to help out, which is amazing. And congrats to her. And I hope she stays well. But yeah, that's awesome. New York seems to be pretty hit pretty hard.
Yeah, so they've got they're at the point that they have refrigerated trucks to hold bodies, and they're starting to turn Central Park into a field hospital.
Yeah.
So it's getting serious there. And yeah, I mean, as I had said earlier, I had three of the symptoms. There's a plausible transmission vector, and I couldn't get a test, so we have no idea how big it is.
Nah, like magic, it's just going to be gone.
April 15th.
Over by Easter. Yeah. This is why we don't even need a pandemic response team. Come on. Obviously. Everything's covered. Here's something not funny. The majority of people surveyed said that they thought that he was doing a good job with the pandemic. Yeah, that's the world we live in.
Wait, what?
So...
Wait, I glanced at the chat for a second, and then I freaked out.
Survey that said like 52% of people surveyed said that they thought that Trump, they approved of the way he was handling the pandemic.
Yeah, he's got. Yeah, I mean, there's something called the rally around the flag effect, and I mean, keep in mind George W. Bush's approval rating went from like 51% to 85%. So so far we're up to about 51-52% now, so it's
once nationalism kicks in. Yep.
Yeah. So it's unlikely to hold more than like a week.
I mean,
that's how cults work.
Not to sound like I'm defending or anything like that, but at least he said that, you know, maybe we should keep on doing things until the 30th of April now. I mean, he seems like some information is sticking from his advisors in him, and he's passing it out. But, yeah, I mean, that's about the only glimmer I can see, is that he's somewhat listening rather than just believing his own rhetoric.
Jim says can't have any positives if you don't test anyone, which is exactly the thing. We have no idea how many people are sick because we have no infrastructure in place to test everyone. And the big thing we know from all of this is that hospitalizations and deaths are both rising exponentially, and we can infer some ideas of how many people are sick from that, but even the numbers of hospitalizations and deaths we're not entirely sure of that, because we don't know how many of those people are sick from other forms of pneumonia or got reported incorrectly. And in some states, they're only talking about hospitalizations and hospital deaths as opposed to people dying in nursing homes. So this is the scary thing, is that we have very limited knowledge, built around the idea that we don't have the testing infrastructure.
Yeah.
So shit's going on.
I can't believe that all of this was a ploy invented by George Soros just to gain control of our government.
Oh, man.
Hey, one of my relatives shared a thing that was claiming that COVID-19 came out of a Chinese laboratory owned by George Soros.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oof. It's sad, though. You think about that, and at least for me, being a person of sound mind, I understand that it's, you know, that's just fake. That's insane. But then you have people who literally believe that the Earth is flat, and they will take that information that they read and.
But there's at least one fewer of those.
Yeah, that one came to a crashing end.
Yeah, that was absolutely terrible. But my response to seeing that video was laughing. Realistically, I have to look at this. I mean, you have to step back and objectively look at this and say, we should be. This is not something to be making fun of, because effectively, this was a person dying of mental illness.
Yeah.
But just the
because it's just
was funny.
it's Schadenfreude against the movement that he represents is what it is. Like, I feel bad that a person died.
Yeah.
I feel good that the flat earth movement had that happen to it, you know, and there's a distinction there, and it's maybe it's cold hearted, but those are two very different aspects of the event.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Just like, I feel very bad that someone died, but it's hilarious that the CEO of Segway drove his Segway off a cliff.
Yeah, you laugh at the circumstance, but not at the person. Yeah.
It is tragic that poor guy had that's a terrifying death, but he drove a Segway off a cliff, and he owns the Segway company. That's, you know, there's humor there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully somebody laughs at me when I die. I'm sure there'll be a good reason to.
Well, you can control that.
I suppose I could. I'll make sure I go out in a humorous way. The unrelated to the humorous death, but related to laughing at people once they're dead. So Comedy Central has been putting some of their TV shows, older TV shows, just up on their YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And recently they put a bunch of episodes of Reno 911 up on there. So I've been watching some Reno 911 also. And it reminded me that so a significant portion of the cast of Reno 911 is from the comedy group The State, who had their self-titled thing on MTV, and then they did Viva Variety, whatever. So the members of The State, have an agreement that as each of them dies, the surviving members will dress their corpse for their open casket funeral. And so it is an impetus to be the last one to die just so that you can be buried with some dignity, because no one's going to dress you like a clown.
Could that ability be passed on to, you know, to family members?
It was part of the agreement, because way whoever died last was assured that they could just, you know, be buried with dignity.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know if it'll get like to the last two and it'll actually become like a Highlander situation.
Yeah, it's been odd, at least for us here, because I mean, we wanted to record like the first week that we didn't. And then the second week was, I don't know. I don't know how long this is going to go, and it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not counting on having significant restrictions lifted before the beginning of June.
So here's another fun thing that Gwent did. So think of like Hearthstone, and you have your character's main ability. So like if you're a shaman, you know, you can summon the totems out, whatever, right?
So Andy, if I mute him now, does that count as social distancing?
Think as though then I can only hear Nathan. I suppose I could also mute Nathan, then he's completely gone from the stream.
Yeah, I mean, you could.
It'd just be Nathan pantomiming in the background. Listen.
So anyway, because this is actually kind of neat, but it's one of those things that you don't think of until somebody does it. So each of the leaders had a special ability, like Arrakis Queen could summon, you know, out of the minions and this, that, and the other, and everything.
Arrakis.
Yeah, Arrakis, the Arrakis Queen. It's like a spider tick monster thing. And her ability, she summons a little one strength thing out and whatever.
So the spice.
What they did was they separated the leaders from the ability. So now as you play a monster deck, you just pick one of the six abilities. And then independent of that, you pick your avatar. It isn't linked anymore. So it's kind of a neat thing where if you want to have the Arrakis Queen ability but have Emlareth as your avatar, you can, and there's nothing stopping you from doing that. And it'd be kind of neat, like if in Hearthstone, if you could have the shaman ability, but have the mage as your avatar, just because you like that avatar more.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of a little thing that they did to separate those and say, here you go. If you want this avatar and this ability, just do it. Why have them tied together?
I mean, that would be kind of cool, because then you can go through and like if you're doing talking about for Hearthstone, you could just choose whatever character you want. Like,
exactly.
I want Stitches, but I want to be able to have the warlock power.
And that's exactly what it is. They just completely separated the avatar from the ability and just said, fuck it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it hadn't even occurred to me to do that. And then they did it, and I was like, oh, that's really neat. Thank you. All right, now that's my Gwent talk for the day. See, the first time was legit. The second time it was funny because it was a callback. Oh, also, I had a Mandela effect thing. I swear to God, these, weren't they Willy Wallaby? But that says Wiley.
Yeah.
They were Willy Wallabies, right?
I might have to ask my wife. Hold on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the trash will say Wiley Wallaby because the trash will have changed when the universe changed. Or you know, this universe is always the Wiley Wallaby universe, but I'm remembering the Willy Wallaby universe.
It is, of course, appropriate to talk about looking at this in the trash because black licorice is trash.
That is wrong. Black licorice is delicious. It tastes like absinthe. I'm going to eat some right now because eating chewy foods while podcasting is professionalism.
And fortunately, we are social distancing, so you're not eating licorice next to me. Ugh.
The trash.
See that action, David?
Somebody took out the trash in the basement. Damn it.
Somebody took out the trash, so you don't have any black licorice. This is candy for dead people.
I'm going to say what up to Chris Anius. Chris Anius?
Chrisanius.
Chrisanius. In the chat. He listens to us at work. We listen to us at work, too.
Yep.
Well, if you work in someplace essential, thank you. I mean, right now there's not many places that are essential, but I'm happy that...
Hospitals and GameStop.
Yeah. No, GameStop's permanently closed now.
Yeah, good.
They closed them all. So Reggie Fils-Aimé, you know, big guy at Nintendo, is like, hey, let's just shut this down.
Is he at Nintendo anymore?
No, he left Nintendo a couple years ago, I think. But he just joined the board of directors for GameStop recently.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, to be fair, GameStop is terrible and deserves to die. So
yeah,
it's never opening back up again.
I was watching a YouTube video recently of a guy who repairs kits. And stuff like that, or repairs PS4s and stuff like that.
Is that the guy with the shirt that says, if it ain't broke, fix it till it is?
I think so.
He's come up on my YouTube recommendations recently for no reason at all, so I guarantee that he hit you too. But continue with your story.
But so he ended up buying, just for the fun of it, just buying refurbished PS4s from different places to see, you know, if they actually refurbished them. The first one, he got one from Best Buy. That one is almost like a brand new PS4. He got one from Amazon. That one is also almost brand new. Got one from someplace else. But then his first one that he got from GameStop literally had like it was in a smoker's house for such a long time. And the thing, he opened it up, like the heat sink in the back of it was just compacted with tar. It was just everywhere. He powered it up and he could just wafted smoke into the room. It was a very gross PS4. He did it again with GameStop, and the second one was not as bad, but
the good news is they only gave that smoker a nickel for their PS4. I'm sure.
Yeah.
7 cents if they took store credit.
Yeah.
Because now you can only get Funko Pops.
Ah, Funko Pops. Because this is how AAA gaming goes, is that either you can make money on loot boxes or by running a pawn shop, and there doesn't appear to be any other way to do it.
Yep.
Is that like smooth jazz music that was playing? What was that about?
That's my dad playing guitar.
Oh.
I didn't know
you got you got elephants and a blues player in your house.
Yeah.
Cue the elephant.
Sometime at the same time.
Well, yeah. It's...
My dad is a player character. He was in a PhD program for biomedical engineering, and he got kicked out because his results disagreed with his advisor, and so then he went on the road as a traveling guitarist for 10 years, and then they invited him back to school because they realized he was right.
Come in.
You said that he was a player character, so he just plays D&D all the time?
No, I mean, he has one of those life stories that only show up in player characters.
Okay.
I was seeing something the other day that was talking about, there's that whole NPC meme that the alt-right does to dehumanize people before they commit a mass shooting. And it was talking about how they really have it backwards, because the NPCs are always more interesting than the player characters, because player characters have to be a blank slate that you, the player, can put yourself onto. Like, look at Fallout 4, right? Mm-hmm. Like, your character is, I lost Michonne. Where's Michonne? Did you even know that the male one is a veteran and the female one is a lawyer? Probably not, but that's the entirety of their background. Whereas all of the NPCs have life stories 1,000 pages deep to set up all those side plots.
Yeah.
Speaking of Fallout, 76 is getting its people soon. Isn't it like the 7th? Isn't
they're gonna put 7th? Some Fallout into their Fallout.
Yeah. God, yep. I think we talked about it on the podcast before, though. I found it really obnoxious that Bethesda thought that their audience did not want to do Fallout. They wanted to do Wasteland Warfare, basically.
So Fallout 76 has been out for 2.5 years now?
No, 1.5.
1.5.
1.5?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's going to take them almost 2 years to actually have NPCs in their game.
Well, correct.
Granted, like I said, is that they originally thought that people didn't want them there. They thought that players wanted to have their own worlds in the Fallout universe and be their own warring faction.
And
I mean, didn't they ever hear about Asheron's Call too? Which I don't know if you're familiar with that story.
No.
Nathan. If they thought players wanted their own worlds, why didn't they have joinable private servers in there until a year after launch? Go on, Asheron's Call 2.
Yeah, so Asheron's Call was one of the early MMOs, and then they came out with Asheron's Call 2, and they had the idea that to revolutionize things, they would have no NPCs, and just like shops and stuff, players would have to provide that. And people were excited about that, and then they had the beta, and then everybody played, they had an open beta, and everybody played the open beta and realized, oh my God, this is terrible, this just doesn't work. And then it utterly crashed and burned on release because the beta was so bad that nobody bought it, and then they shut it down shortly after that.
Yeah. Well, and there's, annoyingly, I can't think of an example right now, which is extremely frustrating because I know I could think of 1,000 examples 5 minutes ago, but there's so many times where there'll be a successful, like, movie or book or TV show or whatever, and the sequel just needs to be more of that. Like, we have shown you that we like that thing. Please give us more of that thing. And then they decide to just veer off into who the fuck knows whereville for the sequel, and it's just terrible. Right. And that's the kind of situation that is with Fallout. Like, people liked Fallout. They liked Fallout 2. They liked Fallout 3. They liked Fallout 4. Just give us Fallout. And they're like, nah, we're going to give you, you know, Battle Royale in random servers with shit and garbage. And it's like, no, that's not what we fucking wanted. Nobody wanted that. They wanted Fallout.
I got a movie for you.
Highlander 2.
Matrix 2.
Matrix 2. Yeah.
I mean, there's a slew of them. I mean, the only ones I've seen.
You can argue that Matrix 2 is still more Matrix, right? Because you got the real world, you got the Matrix world, whatever. Like, imagine if Matrix 2 just didn't even take place in the Matrix at all. And it's like, and we're like, no, we want Matrix. It's like, oh, we thought you would want just 2 hours of romantic comedy in Zion. It's like, what? Nobody wants 2 hours of romantic comedy in Zion. We want Neo battling agents in the Matrix.
Yeah, I mean, Matrix 2 was just bad. It wasn't not Matrix.
Although it did have too much Zion. But like, at least it had some Matrix. But there's things that go way off the rails in the sequel, and it just doesn't work. Now, yeah. That said, sometimes it does. Sometimes you get Babe, Pig in the City, the cinematic masterpiece and the greatest movie that George Miller has ever created. But usually it doesn't. Dude, I love Fury Road and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And I will still say that Babe, Pig in the City is his best movie ever. That thing is legit art, and people don't give it enough respect. Also, Happy Feet's pretty good.
Yeah. It is really funny how the person that brought you Mad Max and all the other, you know, films of that nature also brought you some very actual good, wholesome children's films.
I don't know how wholesome Babe, Pig in the City is. That movie's terrifying. There's a monkey with a gun. His dog gets strangled almost to death. Good times.
I didn't look to see if we have any...
We got questions. There's questions in the chat. There were questions on the book faces. There's all kinds of stuff. Although, we're a half hour into this podcast. It is hard to podcast non-live social distance. We're an hour into the call, but that's because we had a half hour of testing and conversation before we started streaming.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
I did see a podcast that recorded, I think, on Monday. And what they did is they had television sets on the set where they would normally be sitting. So there's like four TVs with just their pictures on there.
So they're all streaming from being on one TV behind you. It would just be one TV for me and one for Dave.
Yeah. I was going to try to do that. But I didn't.
I have like three or four random televisions in my basement. Also, Chris in chat brings up that he just wants another Fallout. And the good news is, Chris, is that Outer Worlds exists.
Yeah.
Outer Worlds is the best Fallout game to come out in the last decade.
Yeah. Fallout 4 is actually not bad. I mean, it's
Fallout 4 is my second favorite first-person Fallout.
And New Vegas being the first?
Okay. Yeah, New Vegas is number one for sure.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, man. 3 might be better than 4. Gameplay 4 is pretty solid, although it depends how into the town defending and building you get. Like, if you love that aspect of Fallout 4, it's going to be your favorite Fallout for sure, and you're the kind of person that that 76 was trying to be for. Because you're the person who just wants to build your own little base and live there. But if you don't get huge on board with that mechanic, 4 is pretty... Yeah, like I played a million hours of 4, but then once I played Outer Worlds, I was like, oh, I was playing a million hours of 4 because I was desperate for anything that was like that. It wasn't because it was good. It was because it was all I could get. If I had the choice of stuff like Outer Worlds at the same time that 4 was out, I wouldn't have played 5 minutes of Fallout 4.
I was more so upset. So Strong is the super mutant that you get? Is he the companion? I was upset that I couldn't assign Strong to my doctor's office in my base.
Oh my god. That, I know it's nitpicky, but that's one of the things that actually annoys me the most about the Bethesda Fallouts is how wrong they get the lore, and specifically about super mutants. Because if you look at Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 and Fallout New Vegas, because those are the people who did 1 and 2, super mutants are smart because they are genetically enhanced and superior. Like, they're not orcs. But Fallout 3, they just wanted some big, scary, dumb guys, so they just made the super mutants be big, scary, dumb guys.
Yeah.
It's like, fine. And like I said, you know, it's fine to have big, scary, dumb guys, but as someone who is a fan of the original ones, it was just like, what?
Yeah, Cogsworth also wouldn't work as a bartender for me either, so I was upset. Oh, that's
rude. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, he's a... Oh, no, because he is a Mr. Handy, not a Mr. Gutsy. So he should be a bartender. That's rude.
Yeah. Well, I know the one thing I really wanted, though, is I wanted Strong to be the doctor.
Sure.
Have him sit behind that booth in the middle of my village. It would have been great, but he didn't want to.
I mean, he'd be familiar with human physiology.
Yeah.
Much as a butcher is familiar with cow physiology.
Yeah. All right, so we had a couple chats and
Yeah, we can have relaxed, rambly, zappity grumbles to fill an hour.
Yeah. I mean, we've been technically recording for about 45.
Or I could tell you about my Scoia'tael movement deck.
No. So, okay.
All right.
What has been your shelter in place purchase that has done the most for you?
I don't know if I mentioned, but Gwent came out.
But you didn't purchase it, though.
Operating system. I guess. I mean, does it count if I bought like a little like starter bundle thing?
Sure.
I did get new Winsor & Newton Series 7 paintbrushes.
Nice. Those are expensive. Did you get them before Amazon jacked up the price of them to $5 million?
These got jacked up. I mean, I got one of these like 2 weeks ago, and the other two a week ago. Uh-huh. So maybe it was before it got. I mean, none of them were over $15. So
I haven't played it yet, but I did buy Mysterium.
Oh, cool!
I thought maybe that I could play that with Raylene, and then in further, maybe I can play this with my wife. Myself, I might buy a copy of Gloomhaven.
Have you played Gloomhaven before?
Yes. Yeah. I played a campaign, not all the way through, but like a decent chunk, maybe a dozen missions with a group.
No.
It's a very solid game.
No, speaking about jacking things up, the other thing I just recently, my wife told me to get yeast, and it turns out there is a shortage of yeast as well, or at least heavy markups, because I had to buy it by the pound bag, and was getting charged two or three times the normal price.
Isn't that also what you...
Yeah, capitalism.
Yeah. I did get one of my Kickstarters during the... During my time off, it is my copy of Cats and Catacombs, which is...
Oh, is that like the Dungeons and Doggos that you have behind you?
That is.
Yeah. Cats and Catacombs.
So adorable. But yeah. This is a nice Steamforge thing. I guess the biggest thing I got was a second monitor, and then I was able to figure out how to get my son a second monitor working on my computer.
Oh yeah. Multiple monitors is a necessity.
I got that. I kid you not. It was the weekend before they sent us all home from work. Like Monday, I came in by noon. Everybody got an email that said, if your last name begins with an A through L, then go home now. And if it's, M through W or M through Z, then go home to after work today and don't come back. But yeah.
Yeah, I had three screens at work and I'm down to just the one at home. And I keep trying to decide whether I'm going to bother to hook my computer up to my other monitor. I literally put my work laptop in front of my home computer's monitor, so I could just plug it in, but fuck it.
Yeah. I just have to remote in, and unfortunately with my remoting in, the screen that I have, I can't actually use it for dual monitors, but the monitor I have is large enough that I can place out windows on it properly.
Nah, just juggle.
Yep. Yeah, that was the only zappity I saw in chat.
I think somebody in chat asked me to talk about my Scoia'tael movement deck.
No.
No.
No, there's no, and they've been banned. Oh, they're admin. Shit.
Facebook had questions.
Yeah,
Facebook had questions.
I was just double-checking Twitter.
I was going to talk about one of them. I only saw the first question because I don't like to spoil them for me, but I did see one of them.
Well, that's fine if you spoil them. I mean, if you... You know, kind of look to see what you want to talk about on it.
But then they're not going to be gut instincts.
That's true, too. But none of these are, well, most of them are not gut instincts in general. So Brian Sin asks, how many tigers would you like to own and what shenanigans would you like to get into?
Zero. And not being mauled by a tiger.
Do the shenanigans have to involve tigers? I mean, this seems like a separate question.
Yeah, it seems like two different questions here.
It's literally the same sentence, so I'm going to assume there's a relationship there. And my shenanigan is going to be not being mauled by a tiger.
Mm-hmm.
If I could trust it not to maul me, I would love to have one tiger, as long as it was happy and got to run around and play and frolic, and I could ride it. And then the shenanigans I'd like to get into is literally anything that I don't go to jail for.
I assume this is from the series that's on Netflix right now.
Mm-hmm. About that guy who hired murderers.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's the thing about the mentally deranged guy in Oklahoma that owns tigers.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I just haven't watched it yet. So, can I change? I don't want a tiger, but I would like to pick another cat family creature.
You don't want Cringer?
No, I don't want Cringer. No, I would want a lynx because they are adorable. They're ridiculously. I mean, they have a little paws about the size of a tiger, though. So many.
Well, it's like they're wearing clown shoes.
Yeah. They just look so adorable. Man, I love lynxes so much.
Your kid's playing the bongos.
It's a sub, you know, they got a sub for his dad playing the
guitar. Is there a basketball court above your head?
No, my office is just basically under the stairs.
Oh, you're Harry Potter in it?
Yeah.
Jeopardy.
Okay, Grumble.
Although you need to go on your shenanigans.
Oh, my shenanigans? I would like to, yeah, I would get an old car and drive around with it in there. Kind of like in Talladega Nights.
No. I was thinking like Every Which Way You Can, but with the lynx instead of an orangutan.
Well, that's Every Which Way But Loose.
You're Every Which Way But Loose.
Isn't there? There's two of them, though, I think, though. That's probably...
Yeah, the other one is Every Which Way You Can.
Oh, yeah, okay. The only one I know of is Every Which Way But Loose. I knew that there was another one. I just didn't know the name of it. But it makes sense. Savity Grumble. Have you gotten a lot of painting done with the whole quarantine? If not, how have you been kept? Oh, geez, words. Have you kept these words? Yeah. Have you gotten a lot of painting done with the whole quarantine? If not, how have you kept yourself from going insane?
I mean, that's bold to assume that we're not already insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean I reject the structure of the question here, but yes I have, but I have gotten significantly more painting done than normal.
I don't think we're insane, David. I think we're sane in an insane world.
I mean, sure, but I'm not convinced there's an appreciable difference between the two. But yeah, I'll go with it.
I have gotten no painting done. I did as a joke on Facebook post, hey, who wants to send me a bunch of free contrast paints because I want them, but I'm cheap. And then somebody actually texted me and asked me for my address. Uh-oh. But nothing showed up yet. So either they forgot or I angered them in between the time that they offered and the time they were going to mail them and they changed their mind. As for how I've kept myself busy, let me tell you about my Scoia'tael movement deck.
God damn it.
Damn it.
I put Dragon's Dream down, and there's nothing
Zappity,
I can do about
Zappity,
it.
Zappity, come on. Andy, help me here. Zappity.
Andy, well, have you kept busy?
Grumble. How I've been keeping myself busy is, I mean, I have not been painting at all. I haven't been painting normally, even when I had no time. I've just been playing WoW. That's how I've been keeping...
Looking over there, I've gotten two battle engines, two heavies and a light painted. Decent so far.
I got a Nemo 4 and a Destructotron 3000 and a widget assembled.
Right before
you
things...
order the new Junior Warcaster and the new light Warjacks for Convergence.
The right before everything hit, though, I did buy a copy of RideQuest, so I've got that going for me. I did buy the new guild for Guild Ball, which is the Shepherds. And in that order, I also bought a Riot Quest. What's the Cephalix guy. Doctor something.
Sure.
Yep.
Dr. Gurglepox?
No.
Master Gurglepox?
Yeah, I don't know.
Gurglepox is a
he's
an exotech.
Yeah,
he's Crix.
But he's a really
what
cool
I did
looking.
Right before everything went terrible, is spend like $300 on Warcaster stuff.
Oh, I didn't.
So wait till August when I get my Warcaster faction and can't play it.
But yeah, otherwise, the only thing I really don't like about the quarantine is the fact that I play while on the same computer that I do work from. So it's literally I roll out of bed, I walk 5 feet, and then I go to work. And then I'm done with work, and then I play WoW. So I'm just, like, sitting in the same spot all day.
Well, make yourself not. Like, have that be your workspace, and then when you want to play WoW, even though it's the same computer, just carry the computer into a different location.
No.
Like, I work here in this office, and I do not do fun stuff in this office.
Mm.
That's one of the reasons I'm so happy Gwent is on phones, because I could just play it on my computer. My computer's right here, but by going into a different room, I stay a little bit sane,
yeah.
Comparatively speaking.
Yeah, yeah. I should play my... Well, I also got Doom Eternal as well, too, and that game is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I did pick that one up, but I haven't played it a ton yet.
Nor right. Animal Crossing?
No,
we have two copies of Animal Crossing in the house now, and the most recent scandal is that while my wife was at work today, both of the kids went to her island and ransacked her bell trees.
Wow,
yeah. I don't know what that means. I just laughed. Wow. I know that there were some issues with Animal Crossing, where if you were playing on the same Switch, you wouldn't get drops for everything else on the second player. You had to be the main player to get like specific drops and stuff. It was something kind of weird.
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't actually played it.
I don't play nerdy video games for children.
That's what Gwent is.
What? How dare you?
All right. Zabity.
Grumble.
What's the Jacob Collin asks? What's the best quarantine, lockdown, isolation portmanteau you've seen?
What's the what now?
Best quarantine, lockdown, isolation portmanteau you've seen.
So there's been discussion of what the baby boom that's going to happen because of this will be named.
Sure.
And it won't work right away, but it will work in a little over a dozen years from now, but they could be referred to as quarantines.
Yeah.
Thanks, David. I wasn't certain if I'd be able to finish my joke. I'm glad you were able to jump in there for me.
Yep. That's what I'm here for, man.
Yeah.
Afraid not.
Also, I like that somebody pointed out that this baby boom will be entirely first children, only children, because nobody who already has kids is going to be participating in that baby boom because their kids are home with them.
Oh yeah. 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 I've seen a lot of cartoons of parents like with kids in the house and that. Yeah. All right. Zappity.
You got no poor mandus?
I got none either. I was going to answer yours about quarantines too, but I held back.
Quarantines. That was a good one. Thanks, David, yeah, for sharing it.
Yep.
Phil Muscraft is asking a question here. I'm afraid to ask it.
Nope.
Which is, now Gwent is on mobile.
Nope.
Are we going to get more Gwent talk?
No.
Also, any advice for a beginner?
No.
Nathan is not allowed to answer this.
I will keep it short. Yes and yes.
God damn it.
That's it.
Oh, don't yeah, keep it short. Okay.
Yeah, keep it short.
Yeah, private message Nathan on whatever social media that you have, and he will help you out with advice for a beginner.
There is a website that has a great like wiki, like how to get started. It also explains like all the rules and everything like that, and I will post that link and you can follow that, and it would have all of the advice you would need. The only legit advice that I would give is pick a faction you like, and as you buy kegs, a neat thing that Gwent does is instead of just buying kegs for an expansion, you can choose a faction, and all of the cards that you get in that keg will be for that faction. And that way, 100% of the cards you get will be for the faction you like to play. And that's a really neat thing, and I would recommend doing that, because then you'll stick with one faction and get cards that work for it.
Doesn't it also carry over value? So if you have, like, hypothetically, like a two-value card, if you mill that card, you can then make another two-value card.
Yeah, things don't mill for full face value, but okay. They mill pretty generously.
Okay.
They don't mill for full face value. But yeah, I mean, the nice thing about doing the faction kegs, like when they first introduced them, people were like, why would I do that? But for a new player, they're phenomenal. Because it's, I mean, again, think Hearthstone. If you know you're going to play Rogue, and being able to buy packs that are guaranteed to be nothing but Rogue cards is really cool. So yeah. Do that. Zappity.
Grumble! Oh, it's somebody. Who actually thumbs up that? Was that you, Nathan?
No.
Terrence Mott did. So then we have Jacob Collins with another question here. I believe that's another question. Yep. Any board games that could be played remotely? Well, let me tell you about a thing that's over on Steam. That's you don't even need a remote for it. It's basically Tabletop Simulator. And I think it's been on sale for a while now because it, you know, everybody's picking it up.
Yeah. And there's also Tabletopia, but Tabletopia is basically a free version of Tabletop Simulator, but it doesn't have quite as, like, not as many people design mods for it, sure. So you'll kind of be struggling. I think it's worth spending the $10 to $20, depending on the sale, to get Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of games be played on there. I think there's, like, I've seen Mompoc be played on there. I've seen Resident Evil 2.
Warcaster's already on there.
Yeah.
Because it's just fan mods do these things. It's like Vassal, but good. Right? Yeah. And so people, like, the fact that Warcaster is already on there, like, was on there before the Kickstarter was even over. So people were playtesting the game to decide if they wanted to back it already on Tabletop Simulator. Like, that's the beauty of public source things like that. But this is the question I saw that I did want to talk about something. I was talking to David about this a little before we started going, but I wanted to save it. So David and I are currently, well, he claims he's still playing it. A yes. Couple people have been eliminated, though. But there is a game of Diplomacy going on. And we were talking there. I was talking about that I love Diplomacy, even though the entire time I'm playing Diplomacy, I am absolutely miserable and hating every moment of my life. Mm-hmm. But I love it, despite that. And so the other example that I had, which is a great two-player game that I would recommend on Tabletop Simulator. I have to assume this is on Tabletop Simulator. Everything's on Tabletop Simulator. But there's the Star Wars Rebellion game, which, if you've ever played War of the Ring, it's like War of the Ring, but Star Wars themed. But it's a two-player game. One's the Empire, one's the Rebellion. It takes place during the original trilogy. And it is extremely masterful because it is like 3 hours of two players, each of which is completely miserable because they're 100% certain that the other person has already won. And it's magical. Every game I've played of that, like, I would play it face-to-face, me and Geezy, and the whole time we're both just fucking miserable because since turn one we're certain the other person's already got it on a lock. And they're always nail-biter games at the end, but it never seems that way just because it's so asymmetrical. The game has, like, two different win conditions. Again, similar to War of the Ring, where the Free Peoples are trying to dunk the ring and the Shadows trying to conquer the land. Like, there is no question that eventually the Free People will dunk the ring in Mount Doom. And there's no question that eventually the Shadow player will conquer the world. It's just two separate races that who's going to finish theirs first. And so it's hard to just look and see where you are with each other because it's not the same race, right? And Rebellion does the same thing, where the Rebellion player is trying to get, like, all these missions succeeded to get public support, where the Empire player is trying to find and destroy the Rebel base, and neither player knows how close the other person is to succeeding. Mm-hmm. And it's miserable, and I hate it the entire time I'm playing it, and it's wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I've got no suggestions on there other than just pick up Tabletop Simulator. I'm too busy playing another game on my computer anyway, so I can't play it.
You could also, if you have an Android device, you could play Gwent.
Mm-hmm.
It's also available on PC and iOS.
Mm-hmm.
It's not available on console anymore, unfortunately. They halted that.
They took it off on there? It's interesting.
Yeah, they took it off console like 6 months ago.
Oh. Hmm.
I think it was just too difficult to code for, and so they were just like, fuck it.
That makes sense.
And they let all those people import their card collections over to the PC.
Oh, cool.
David?
Yeah, I was going to say Diplomacy.
Because
I am a big fan of Diplomacy. It's great if you're playing with people that either A, you don't like, or B, that you know can deal with the constant backstabbing is how the game works.
I am still alive in our game. Mm-hmm. You know, if we count France, and let's go ahead and count France, three of the seven factions have been eliminated.
Yeah.
And still in there as a faction that in general is eliminated very early. And I haven't lied a single time. Nope. Not once.
No, you've lied once.
Nope.
Yep.
No, I never lied.
Yep.
I defy you to find a lie.
I will. Right now, hold on a second.
All right.
So that was basically all the zappity grumbles there. Do you want me to stop this one before Dave finds the proof?
No, because I never.
I'm scrolling back.
What he might find is me saying, "Hey, I'm willing to do this thing," and the other person saying, "Okay," and then the other person not following through on the requirement I had for me to do the thing. And that's not me lying. That's me making an offer and them not taking me up on the offer.
Hearing the sounds of
it's in the Facebook chat.
He was so certain. Wait, Facebook chat doesn't count?
Yes, it does.
No, that's not the game. No, it is not part of the game. The Facebook chat is entirely separate from the game. No.
You lied in the Facebook chat.
That is not part of the game. That does not count. Also, I don't know that I lied to the Facebook chat. Well, I might have said I wasn't the faction that I was or something, but...
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I don't think I... Oh, yeah.
You said you were England, which is a lie.
Okay. So when the game started, we started a game, and I was England, and then somebody forgot to put in orders, and so it ruined the game immediately. So we started over, and then in the Facebook chat, I said, "Oh boy, I got England again." And if you're going to say that joke in the Facebook chat before the game even started counts as my one lie, bunk, and you know it.
Still a lie. You still lied in the game.
That's not in the game. You son of a bitch.
All right, so we should probably run our... I mean, that was all the zappity grumbles. We're all done with those. So we should probably go down to a couple recommendations.
Oh, man, this is going to be tough for me.
Are you going to recommend Gwent again?
Well, you know what, Andy? That's all probably a good idea. You know, I'm thinking about it, but yeah, I guess I could do that. So Gwent came out on Android, and it's a fucking amazing game, and I love it, and I missed it, and my hole in my heart has been filled by the joy that is Gwent. It's so good. It's so fun. It's so generous. The art is beautiful. The voice acting is beautiful. It is a phenomenal game, and I can post a friend's code, and if y'all follow the friend's code, you get free stuff the more achievements you get, and so do I. So Chili finished the tutorial. He was the first person to use my friend's code, and he finished the tutorial. So I got a frame for my avatar that is Siri hugging the avatar. And now I'm working on the rewards thing to get the avatar to be a little rat because it's the year of the rat in China. And so I can have Siri hugging a rat, and then I'll be very happy because I love Siri and I love rats.
Okay.
One last Zappity Grumble comes up, which will go into what you guys just talked about, too, is what is the best game to make people not be friends with you anymore? Diplomacy.
Yeah.
Is it Diplomacy, or am I thinking a different one?
I mean, Diplomacy is definitely a game that can do that, but...
Yeah.
I used to say when I lived in Kentucky that I couldn't own a copy of Diplomacy because I had a balcony and I was on the 14th floor, and if we played at my place, somebody would be going over it.
Yeah, it's a feature, not a bug. You know, if you are going to get that upset at a game of Diplomacy, don't play Diplomacy. Right? It's like there are certain people that shouldn't play poker because they're not going to have the temperament for it. And that's fine. But if you're that person, do not play Diplomacy because it's not going to end well for you. And somehow, like, I should be that person. I should hate Diplomacy. And for some reason, I love it. Like, it is not balanced at all. Like, the seven factions are not equally good. The game is not fair. At all. I mean, in its mathematical fairness, it is extremely unfair because it has, like, if we sat down for a game of Settlers of Catan, I would hate the fact that we're playing Settlers of Catan, because if the three of us were playing and the two of you just said, hey, let's just never trade with Nathan, I am straight up fucked. And I have to sit there for the next hour and a half while you two play a game of Settlers of Catan, and I already lost because you told me I'm not allowed to play. That's literally the only game mechanic in Diplomacy, is doing that to people. And for some reason, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
the wrong game can make anyone not your friend, right? There's people who will ruin friendships over a game of Chutes and Ladders. Like, it's not the game's fault.
Monopoly would be another good one. Wasn't it you who mentioned that you once saw somebody eat a fleet marker?
Yeah, they were force-fed a fleet marker. In a game of Diplomacy, I saw one person shove a fleet marker. Luckily, this was a cardboard chit, not like the metal fleet tokens they have in the current Avalon Hill ones. But one person shoved a fleet marker down another person's throat. The feeder was not invited to any games going forward, not just of Diplomacy, but of anything ever, because that's not okay. Like, as humorous of an anecdote that is for Diplomacy, it's not a good anecdote for someone you continue to invite into your life.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. At least it wasn't baby birded.
Yeah. She wants the fleet marker. Bah!
All right, so that was that there. So you already went through a recommendation. I don't know the series or the show at all, as in like the channel. But it recently was brought to my attention. It's called Vice, and they do kind of like documentaries, extensive documentaries on things. And just recently, they put out a series about wrestling, because I enjoy wrestling. But their second season for the initial premiere was about Chris Benoit. And they went through, it's called The Dark Side of Wrestling, or Dark Side of the Ring, I think it's what it's called. It was a two-parter, and it was about a good hour and a half long, but interviewing everybody that's pretty much involved. I mean, that's not anybody that's under WWE contract at all, but like Chris Jericho, he's basically the one who actually kind of produced the documentary. But it was a neat look into, the greatness of what Chris Benoit did in the ring and the horribleness what he did outside of the ring. And how, you know, it was neat learning about everything there, learning about WWE's response and what everybody else all thought of it too. It also goes into the death of Eddie Guerrero as well too. That was one of the catalysts that probably sent Chris Benoit down that path, because him and Eddie were like really, really close, like brothers. I mean. But it's a really, really cool documentary. It's neat. It's neat.
Documentaries in general, you know, like if they're well done, sporting documentaries tend to be really good, just because they have a lot of highlight stuff and they have stats to back things up, and then they can take interesting tacks on the conversation. There's the whole 30 for 30 series that ESPN does that are almost universally worth watching. Like every single 30 for 30 is extremely interesting.
Yes.
The John Boys.
Hmm?
Then there's John Boyes.
Well, John Boyes, oh my God, I'm so mad. I get mad every time I see it on my YouTube feed. So they've got Dorktown, which is just Chart Party, except they forced John Boyes to have somebody else read half of the script. And it's like, who is this asshole that they're saddling John Boyes with? It's infuriating. But still, it's still good because it's John Boyes, and John Boyes is the greatest documentarian alive.
Yeah.
I also remember that I'm very, very excited because we've talked about it before on the podcast. I enjoy Forensic Files. Forensic Files is one of my favorite, just kind of like crime drama shows, because it's real. They use actual real science in finding out, and it's kind of like a documentary-ish of whatever, you know, murder happened. They actually started up Forensic Files 2. So,
oh, really?
There's a new season.
Do they
season.
Get somebody doing the new narrator voice, or
there's a new narrator. I don't think the original creator is behind it, but they had Forensic Files 2. It's a decent watch. It's over on HLN. And
I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, but 24 hours a day on Pluto TV, there's a Forensics Child's channel. Oh. And I mean, there's Forensic Files, and the next channel up is New Detectives, and the next channel up is Cold Case Files.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Those are three channels right in a row, and they're all great. Yep. There's a Beavis and Butthead channel I found yesterday, but I was sad because it has none of the music videos in it. It's just the little, you know, the episodic stuff in between. Yeah. But really, to me, them riffing on the music videos was the funniest part of the show, because that was almost like an MST3K style.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I guess the music rights were probably nightmarish.
Yeah.
But I know we have talked about this particular documentary on the cast before, and going back to John Boyes, after I move, and this is one of the things, because we have a kind of small place here for the six people that live here. But after we move, I'm going to have a room set up for guests and have a television. And as part of inviting people over to celebrate moving into a house that fits the entire family, I'm going to get a keg of beer and make people watch The Search for the Saddest Punt in the World, because more people need to be exposed to that piece of culture.
That is a really good episode. Yeah. I mean, of course, again, everything he does is phenomenal, but The Saddest Punt is good. So is the Seizing the Means of Production about the strike.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the really good one, just because it had a really poignant ending. Why am I blanking on his name? The pitcher that got, like, super fucked over, and then he was going to murder the, like, general manager that fucked him over, and then he got into drugs and his career spiraled out of control. Do you remember that one?
No.
I'm going to figure out who it was and mention it, but that's a good one. So talk more. Give me 2 minutes.
Okay. I will recommend, and I know a few weeks ago I recommended something similar, because Mountain Dew is on fire lately, because in addition to having Mountain Dew Zero, which is a better version of Diet Mountain Dew, they now also have Mountain Dew Baja Blast Zero. Because Baja Blast is the superior version of Mountain Dew, because it doesn't actually taste all that much like Mountain Dew. It actually tastes good. And the Zero version is pretty good, and it is non-caloric, and it's available in supermarkets now, if you can get out to one during the plague. So do that, and it also mixes quite well with vodka.
I guess it's only available in Australia right now, but they have Mountain Dew Doritos. And I'm intrigued by them, because, I mean, if you do it right, it'd just basically be, you know, corn chips with like a lime taste to them. And it might actually be really goddamn good. I'm intrigued to try them.
Lonnie Smith.
Oh.
It's the third episode of Pretty Good. It's about Lonnie Smith, and it is fucking phenomenal. Everyone watch it now. It's 24 minutes long. It should be the next thing you do.
Okay.
Anyway, continue with your Mountain Dew flavored Doritos.
I would also maybe try some Cool Ranch Mountain Dew.
So this is side tangential related to Mountain Dew flavored Doritos, but it's pretty on the nose. Is fuck gamer fuel, gamer grub, and all of that stuff. Because, A, I'm a goddamn human being, not a vehicle or a pet. I don't need fuel or grub. I eat food and drink liquids, you know, beverages. B, their commercials are always some over-the-top thing about, you know, poning noobs and this. Fuck you. Again, I am an adult human being with a job and a family, and I wear pants, and I have, you know, a concept of social interaction. Fuck you. Like, why are you using these boring, stupid, old garbage stereotypes to sell your crap product to the people that you're insulting with your stereotypes? And then B, why do you fucking monkeys out there buy the stuff that's being sold to you with these stupid crap stereotypes? How have we not risen up as a nation and said no to this shit?
I love the fact that you have to point out that you wear pants.
Yeah.
Well,
usually, yeah. And I don't pee in a Mountain Dew bottle while playing WoW. Like this, is, no.
Oh, whoa,
like,
whoa! I use other bottles.
Yes, exactly. Because it would be too easy to mix up the Mountain Dew. You need something
exactly.
That's different. Coke isn't yellow, and yeah, it's like your painting mug. Seriously, every time I've seen one of those fucking Game Fuel commercials or whatever, I just want to throw a brick through someone's head.
Well, it's basically the same thing as you know, marketing for Big Bang Theory. They market to that area, but they're not actually part of that area.
Yeah, but I mean, at least so like the Big Bang Theory, like at least it's nerd stereotypes, right? But you could claim that it's trying to appeal to non-nerds, you know, like the mainstream people who aren't in on that. Like, because when I see an episode of Big Bang Theory and the guy's like, hey, look, I found my old Super Nintendo in the closet. We should play some Super Mario World. I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. But the laugh track is making it obvious that I'm supposed to be considering this person to be a pathetic loser, right? Yeah. And so the people watching it aren't the people who would think that playing Super Mario World is fun. Game Fuel is... your Nana isn't going to buy Game Fuel. Right? And she's not going to laugh at the commercial for Game Fuel and say, look how dumb gamers are. I'm going to go drink some Game Fuel. It's marketed to gamers by mocking them.
I think if Jeff was on the podcast, he would definitely be able to answer this here because he worked at a GameStop. But I think those commercials are really pointed towards the Call of Duty bros. I don't think they care that they're
not self-aware enough to understand that. You know, I guess you're right.
No.
They aren't. I, Your Honor, the defense withdraws their objections. God damn it.
Think about who you were expecting self-awareness from.
Yeah, God damn it. You're right. You're fucking right. These are the people who subscribe to PewDiePie.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, they're the ones who like, hey, I just got this Call of Duty, bro, and I'm having fun with it. Oh, there's another one that's the exact same thing, but with just different buildings. I want that Call of Duty, bro. And the same thing with Madden.
Yeah, those games, like, you would think... So there is a sliding scale, right, with production and whatever, because the answer to why do they do something is always because it's profitable. But so... To rewind, the question that I'm already answering and then unanswering is, why do they release a Madden every year, right? Why do they release a Madden every year? And the answer, of course, is because people buy it. And I get that people shouldn't fucking buy it because it's just Madden again. You don't need current season accurate players. The game's the same, right? Like, I can still play Tecmo Bowl, and it's Tecmo Bowl. It doesn't matter that Mike Singletary isn't on the Bears anymore. But...
You're talking about Super Tecmo Bowl, because Tecmo Bowl didn't have the characters.
Yeah, Super Tecmo Bowl. Sorry. No. I don't think to go... Whatever. The point is...
Also, you talk like rosters don't matter, and I would argue that for Super Tecmo Bowl, it 100% matters that Bo Jackson is no longer playing.
Which... ESPN, speaking of 30 for 30s, the Bo Jackson 30 for 30 is very good, but they had a thing recently saying, like, which video game sports person was the most overpowered, and they had, like, Mike Tyson and Ken Griffey Jr., whatever. Anyone who didn't vote Bo Jackson is a fucking moron. Because you just have to watch the one video where the guy downs it on his own one, he hands the ball off to Bo in his end zone, he runs down to the opposing one-yard line, runs back all the way to the back of his own end zone, then runs back and gets the touchdown, juking in and out through 50 defenders the whole way. It's insane. But anyway, to rewind. So I get that people buy Madden every year, and I get it's because they want the roster to be up to date. Sure. But you would think for EA, even if they're going to prey on that, there's got to be a production cost to new copies of Madden, where if you sold a roster update for $20 every year, it would actually be more profitable than doing a new game for $60 every year.
I think the answer to that is
like wherever in the slide it becomes a penny more profitable.
I mean, I think the answer to that is that realistically, probably what they're doing, and this is speaking as a software engineer, is that Madden never stops being developed. That it's just that essentially every year they say, okay, the current patch we're at, this is a new game, ship it, move on.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm not sure
that... You could say this is the 2021 season patch, right?
Yeah.
And this is the 2022 season patch, and it has the new rosters and these cool new features. Like, exactly what you're doing, but instead of saying Madden 21 and releasing a new physical game, just call it a patch and charge $20 less.
Yeah, but they would make, money.
I mean, there's got to be a point where they make more money doing that.
I don't know.
Because how much does production and shipping and everything of the – and I know there's a lot of digital downloads, so that enters into it. But a portion of purchases are new physical purchases, and those require physical production and packaging and shipping, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but I mean the packaging – the production, packaging, and shipping is only a couple of bucks per game, because actually, pressing the discs costs about $1. And
advertisement, like a physical thing, on an end cap, is advertisement.
Yeah,
it's still fucking dumb, and fuck people for buying them. I feel like Jesse in Breaking Bad. They just can't keep getting away with this.
I almost wish that we had Jeff on the podcast here because he would go into insight about have such great insight about the types of folks that come in to get games, though. And the people that he absolutely abhorred, though, were the basically the Call of Duty Madden bros that would come in.
Yeah.
And the folks that are looking for like their new copy of Kingdom Hearts, that's a whole different audience than than the Madden Call of Duty and whatever ones. Oh. Well, I guess we don't really. Do you guys have anything else for recommendations?
Someone in chat recommended Roll20, which is – it kind of rolls into the – no pun. It kind of rolls into the Zappity Grumble about board games to play during social distancing. RPGs are fun. Dungeons & Dragons, it's fun. Vampire the Masquerade, fun. Amber, whatever role-playing game you enjoy playing, it's fun. And what? What are you cackling at, Mr. Man?
When you're talking about Amber, what immediately popped up my head, Amber Alert, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a role-playing game.
Kidnap
a child.
Yeah. And then when the cops talk to you, pretend you didn't kidnap a child.
Exactly.
That's the character.
Oh, man.
No, Amber was one of the first mainstream diceless role-playing games, which was really avant-garde at the time to have an RPG with no dice, right? But anyway, it's good stuff, and it's mainstream, and blah, blah, blah. But the point is, you shouldn't be gathering with your friends every other Tuesday to play the RPGs, because you're going to cough on each other, and then Nana's going to die, and then the economy's going to go up, because that's how it works. Blood for the blood gods. But Roll20 allows you to play... I think it's pretty much designed for D&D, but I think the map making and stuff, you could then use your own stuff. It just might not be integrated as automatically, but you could still use it as a template and then just Skype or Discord or whatever the actual game you're playing. But yeah, play RPGs is a recommendation, and use Roll20 if you need it as a sub recommendation.
Yeah. Yep. Or play WoW.
I mean, no. Yeah, I'm not going to get on board that one.
What?
Every minute playing WoW is a minute not playing Gwent, and that's just not something I can support.
You could do both at the same time.
I actually could probably do both at the same time. Because seriously, like, my movement deck just pilots itself. Once I throw down Dragon's Dream, there's nothing they can do about it. I'll just Geralt Ard them back into that row. It's hilarious when they try to escape.
All right. Well, I'm going to definitely try to work on our streaming capabilities. The reason why we don't have just a picture of all three of us on it is...
David, look out! Ooh, sorry, there's somebody sneaking up on David there.
Yeah, for some odd reason, the video card that I have can't do the audio and the video over to my streaming laptop, so I was just having troubles with that.
Well, the good news is if you continue to stream the way you're streaming, the audience can't see David and I, and so I don't need to even have a decent webcam.
Well,
like if you make it so that you can put all of our screens up at once, then I have to actually like comb my hair and care.
You were showing up on there for a little bit, but then you turned on the backlights.
No,
if it's that much of a problem, you can just turn off the light in the room.
Oh, I guess you can see David pretty well.
Yeah.
Oh wait, here I am. If I lean close to the computer, there's my face.
Yeah. The other issue though too is my
on the white made me darker. I guess my camera overcompensated.
Yeah. Well, that and my television that's behind me. The camera that we normally stream with that's right there.
There, I turned my light off. Am I bright now? Can you see my pasty face?
No, now we can't see you at all.
Now I'm in pure darkness. Oh my goodness, that is pure fucking darkness.
You can see the reflection in your glasses and that's it. This is great.
I'll just podcast like this.
Yep. No, I mean, that's more disturbing for me because I see it right in front of me.
Well, I do what I can.
Yeah. I mean, as restrictions get lifted, I mean, we'll probably go back into a normal mode. We might actually just go to... I was almost thinking of doing something like video game related for a podcast. Like, we all could jump on to the same Minecraft server or something like that.
I still have my Minecraft for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, same. It's very disturbing, Nathan. Nobody can see that. All I can see in the picture behind me is just two reflections in the glass.
I'm like that single frame pop-up of Pazuzu in The Exorcist.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like you can see like your upper teeth, so it's like you're a demonic chipmunk.
But am I not like a demonic chipmunk in general?
Okay, yeah, we can go with that.
Yeah. I mean, so yes, yeah, so maybe some like video games, maybe even doing something like Apex Legends or something like that. Hopefully maybe something that's not as involved that we can actually talk about, because I guess Apex would be a little bit too hard.
And we'd also Dark Souls.
Yeah, we'd be starting over all the time because we just get wiped because we talked about something.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think that would be okay, but yeah, we should do Dark Souls. Nathan would enjoy it.
Minecraft was okay the one time that we did it, Andy.
Yeah.
Even though we spent an hour and a half to find a fucking mine in Minecraft.
Yeah, and then you swore a death oath on me.
Well, you were rude, but my mine was beautiful. I named it Sebastian.
I still have that server or that. That's very disturbing again. All right, so
I get fade into darkness.
Yeah, so the whole goal is to still record on Sundays. We might be able to live stream on Sundays though too.
David, someone else behind you. David's being talked to by a child. A blurry child. The child's not blurry anymore. Now the child's blurry again. Goodbye, blurry child.
All right. So I guess we're going to probably call it then.
All right.
Thanks all for joining us, listening, and watching. We'll have the audio version up fairly soon.
It will be less terrible next time.
I'm
not promising good. I'm promising less.
Yeah, I was going to say we should achieve our typical level, or be closer to our typical level of terribleness next time.
Correct. More ironically terrible and less unironically terrible.
All right. Thanks, folks, for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.